Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy all, Glenn the Geek here. It's getting up to 70 degrees in Lexington, Kentucky today.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 17th, 2011, episode 79, sponsored by EasySignsOnline.com. Good morning, horse people.
I'm a horse addict. I got a real big habit. What I want, I gotta have it. I'm a horse addict. A horse addict. I got a real big habit. I see what I want, I gotta have it. I'm a horse addict. Some of my friends, they only have just one. They're in recovery, but I'm having all the fun. I'm a horse addict. I got a real big habit.
So you starting to feel like a horse addict with that new horse in your collection?
It's not in my collection. It's in my girlfriend's collection. I claim no responsibility and no bills. No bills.
Well, you know, the only reason I played that one is she didn't have the Puppy Addict song, so I had to play Horse Addict.
Yeah, well, puppies are better today than they were yesterday, or day before yesterday. We had a loving couple of hours yesterday as opposed to the day before that where I wanted to get rid of them.
Funny how that works. Well, Jennifer, yeah. What's up on the show today?
Today's show, it's all about classics. Jackie Baker will be here to trade classic horse stories with shopping stories with Jamie, and then it's on to the classic boy. Then it's on to the
classics. Let's start over. What's on the show today?
On today's show, it's about the classics. Jackie Baker will be here to trade classic horse shopping stories with Jamie, and then it's on to the Cactus Classic Reining Show coming up in Westworld in Arizona. And then to round out the show, we're going to have Lisa Wysocki here, and she'll be giving us some fascinating factoids about horse-loving classic country music stars from her book, and then interspersed throughout Glenn the Geek's classic cornball one-liners and Jamie's classic surprise ending stories.
She couldn't have made that any more complicated for herself.
No, that was a real mistake, that whole classics thing. I'm sorry.
You do,
Jamie,
it to yourself,
really need to...
Jen.
I know.
Bad idea.
We really need to cut back on her martinis at breakfast.
I know. Just, you know, you can just tell us what's coming up on the show and not tongue-tie yourself, poor thing.
It was clever. Give you that.
It's always clever. Always. She's the clever one on the show, Glenn.
Yeah. And she makes us look bad for the rest of the hour and a half. I mean,
she comes in
all witty and charming, and then it's us, you know?
I know. Well, hey, before we get further, I wanted to review, and I know you do too, the Facebook stuff, because this is really getting frustrating because I'm not seeing all the posts from all my friends anymore on Facebook until you told me how to fix that yesterday.
Yeah, and let's go over that again because I think it's kind of important. We've definitely seen a decrease in the amount of traffic to all of our pages, people commenting on our pages, and part of the reason is Facebook changed over the weekend the way you see posts on your wall. And what they did is, in all Facebook's vast wisdom, by the way, they make more mistakes with changes to their website than any company I've ever seen. It's like they don't test this stuff. They really need to figure out what a focus group is. But what they have done is on your wall, when you go to your Facebook page, There's two sections. There's top news and most recent. Well, it used to be that the top news was the most hit upon posts. You would see the most popular posts under top news. That's still true. But what most recent was, it used to just be everybody that you have liked, their posts would show up in chronological order from newest to oldest on your page. Okay? Well, over the weekend, what they did is they said, oh, that's obviously not working. So what we're going to do is change it, and we're going to put it so that only the posts from people that you have the most interaction with, in other words, people that you have discussed with or posted on their page, are going to show up on your most recent tab. So that's only people that you've actually had interaction with. Everybody else won't show up on your wall. So even though you've liked them and said, I want to follow this person, Facebook has determined that you really don't want to follow that person because you've never posted on their wall and they've never posted on yours. So to change that, yeah, so they made that the default. Instead of giving people the option or even explaining it, they changed it for you, and that's why you see less posts on your wall right now. So what you have to do is go to your Facebook page on the news feed, and you'll see the news feed there. You want to go on – there's
okay,
a little
wait,
tab
wait,
up Glenn. The –
Yep. For Facebook dummies, news feed is at the top.
yep.
In the center.
You just want to, and that's the thing that comes up by default for most people.
When you hit home.
And then
when you hit home.
Yeah. Exactly. So then you're going to see at the top, above your feed there, you're going to see top news and most recent. What you want to do is click on the little blue arrow beside most recent, and go to Edit Options. And when you go to Edit Options, there's going to be a drop-down menu that says Show Posts From. And you have two choices. Friends and pages you interact with the most, which will be the one that is checked by default, or all of your friends and pages. You have to change it to all of your friends and pages, and it will go back to the way it was before. If you don't want to change it, then you'll only see the people you interact with the most. And what that means, though, is if you go like somebody new until you interact with them, you're not going to see it. So, if you liked them in the first place, you wanted to see their posts. And you can unfriend them or unlike them if you don't want to see their posts. So it's probably better just to go under Edit Options and then do all of your friends and pages as your new setting. And then that way you'll start seeing Horses in the Morning. Basically anybody or any of our pages, for that matter, any fan pages, because unless you've communicated or written on our wall, you're probably not going to see our post. You probably stopped seeing our updates. Well, we're still doing our updates, but this week there's definitely been less interaction on our page during the show because people aren't seeing it. They aren't seeing the announcements and stuff. As a matter of fact, Katie Livingood just posted, thanks for sharing the Facebook stuff. I've seen links but never followed them. It's interesting that mine did not change. Well, yours probably will. When Facebook does this, they usually roll it out in stages. They'll roll it out over a week period of time to all of their members. They have 500 million. They usually do it in stages. So you probably will see that, Katie. But that's what it is, and that's how you can make the changes there.
There you go. And you don't know what you're missing. When I fixed mine yesterday, there was all kinds of stuff in there because so many of the likes that I've done, like I follow Lucas, the world's smartest horse. I don't post stuff on his Facebook page, but whenever I see something come through on my Facebook page, I go over to his website because I just find it easier to navigate. So you really don't know what you're missing unless you hit that button for a while and make sure that's the way you really want it. Yeah.
Yep. So that's it. That's the Facebook thing. So we hope that helps everybody recover some friends they thought they lost. And some of the people think that they were unfollowed, that people unfollowed them, you know?
No. This is so Facebooky languagey. It's like I was totally unfollowed and defriended and defaced by so-and-so. It's like, I feel like a teenager talking about this, but you're right. It's good to let everybody know. They're very sneaky in there in Facebook. So anyway, I have a daily Winnie, Glenn. out to, well, I'm trying to figure out which person was actually the hero in this whole fire thing that happened in Greater Manchester last Thursday. A fire broke out in a hay barn at a riding school in Dubcross Saddleworth at apparently 7:40 p.m. And just after the owner, Judith Liversridge, had done evening feeds. A neighbor, Florence Leesum, alerted Miss Liversridge, who lives in a log cabin on the site. What does Mrs. Liversridge do? She ran out of the house, streaked down to the burning stable, ran in through the flames, freed 8 horses, 1 donkey, and a dog before the fire crews even arrived. It took 30 firefighters 36 hours to put the fire out, Glenn. 36 hours. 15 of their 23 barns were destroyed. 2 hay barns, 2 tack rooms, and a feed room. 18 horses in the pasture not brought in, so they were totally fine. Not one horse got hurt in the entire accident, thanks to Mrs. Liversridge, who ran into the burning barn. I mean, it's like Black Beauty all over again. She busted into the barn, had to put, like, a couple blindfolds on a couple horses and drag them out. Everything in their whole entire property is gone except for no lives because she's a hero.
Oh, well, let's give her a round of applause.
Yay!
We definitely need some, like, hero music.
I think so. She is a total hero. And if you want to help the Husteds on telly, call 0145-787-0904. I don't know how to dial those numbers. So if you want the number, you can just go ahead and give me an email or something, and I'll send you the number.
Well, that is amazing. You know, you got to think, it got me thinking, would I have the wherewithal in a burning building to run around and think straight enough to be able to get all the horses out safely? You know, that's something you ever get to practice. You know, you don't get to practice that. You got one shot.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the women whose horses was in the barn said her horse's name is Zena, and she was like, she said she was so frightened she was rearing up and wouldn't come out, but Judith ran into the stables and drug her out of there. It is amazing no lives were lost. I mean, that's phenomenal.
Yeah, it does make you want one. And then there was also, I think there was also a donkey. And, you know, they can be, sometimes moving a donkey could be harder than moving a horse. So.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely can.
Although the donkey was probably smart enough to run out. So.
It said she had to go in there and get all those horses, a donkey, and a dog. So, you know, maybe they were pinned up or something and she was open to open the doors. Yeah. But I don't know. She's a hero. She is the woman. And she's like 50-something years old. She's had this business for 40-something years. So she ain't no 18-year-old girl, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right. Well, good job. Well, I also have a Daily Winnie today. I think we just like playing that. So my shout out today goes to Templeton Thompson. Templeton's starting something new. And of course, Templeton is one of our favorite musicians here on the Horse Radio Network. And it's called Templeton's Third Thursday. And I thought I'd let her explain it.
Hey, y'all. I want to invite you to our new Third Thursday session starting in February. You can go to templetonthompson.com and Templeton Thompson's YouTube channel. That's mine. And check out the new videos we'll be posting every third Thursday of the month starting in February. And we're going to be doing some new music, dusting off some old songs, and every now and again some folks are going to stop by and make some music with us. Y'all make sure to dream big, work hard, and have faith. We'll see you on down the road. In fact, we'll see you in February right back here at TempletonThompson.com.
She is such a sweet thing.
I know. I love her. She's awesome.
So that's Templeton Thompson. She's putting out new videos now. They're going to be playing some songs, putting them on video, and putting them out every third Thursday. So that's a lot of fun. I can't wait. I can't wait to see them.
Absolutely. It's going to be awesome. She's just the sweetest thing in the world, you know? But, hey, Glenn, we have a phone call, and I know, well, go ahead and talk about Sarah Lee before I go ahead and take the call from Jackie, because you're sad about this.
Yeah, we're all sad about it. Sarah Lee, who we had on the show last week, who is doing a video competition to become one of the riders in the Mongol Derby, that we talked to her last week. She was so sweet from Ireland. Didn't make it. She didn't win it. Some Spanish guy won. So I'm kind of upset because Sarah Lee, we wanted Sarah Lee to win, and we were going to follow her progress and everything. Now some Spanish guy probably doesn't even speak English one, and we won't be able to talk to him. So that's why I'm bummed. And Sarah Lee, all our best. We hope that you find some way to go ride in the Mongol Derby anyway. You know, find a sponsor and go ride.
Might.
We're rooting for you. Yeah, she
The Horse
might,
Radio
too.
Network. The Horse Radio Network would like to become your sponsor, and we can donate $15.
You think
so
that'll cover
it? That's a start, Sarah.
Hey, you know who I could see? You know, I was thinking about that yesterday when we were talking to Kimberly Brown, the amazing, you know, mountain climbing Kimberly Brown. I was thinking she's probably one that would sign up for the Mongol Derby and go do that. You know, she's got that spirit. Yeah,
she could do it, no problem. Like I said, I'm done with camping, so anything that will require me to sleep outside, yeah, it's not going to happen. I'm done. By the way, people posted on my Facebook page, how dare you say you're done with camping? How could you hate camping? I'm like, yeah, I hate it. It doesn't matter. It's horrible. It's stupid. Well, on the line, Glenn, we've got Jackie Baker. She's the author of the RegardingHorses.com, or just RegardingHorses.com. And, you know, I really sometimes think that Jackie and I are secretly connected in some sort of weird way, because whatever I seem to talk about on the show, on that same day, it seems at that exact moment, she actually posts something about that subject on her blog. And just when we were talking about buying horses and having this whole experience driving around to hell on earth up in Clovis, California, this crazy woman's farm, she was typing about buying horses as well. So good morning, Jackie. How are you?
Good morning, Jamie. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. You're like my soul sister. Were you just channeling me?
I know. I
your blog.
Sort of. If I had been channeling you, I might have gone around my horse shopping process a little bit differently, but it was still buying horses and falling in love either way. So taking one home.
So what is your tell everybody what your blog is about this month?
Well, my blog, I was writing on Valentine's Day, and I didn't want to write anything too sappy or crazy, so I thought about, well, how did I end up with my horse? And I'm like, actually, I'm a really good example of how not to go get a horse, because he was kind of an impulse.
Apparently,
buy,
Jamie
but, okay.
is, too.
He was really, really, really an impulse buy, as in, I was not in the market for a horse. I wasn't even considering buying a horse. I wasn't looking. I wasn't shopping. I wasn't budgeting. I was riding some friends' horses, and he showed up in their barn one day. He was going to be for sale, and he was just coming to hang out there and get sold. And a week later, I bought him.
but not
in the market for a horse. But
you almost kind of choked me up a little bit when you told the story of, you know, you see him in this pasture, and he's standing there, and go on, because I loved this part.
Oh, it was the best. He had been standing in the pasture for the last 2 years, just hanging out, being a horse, had absolutely nothing done with him, hadn't really been getting groomed. He was a little bit underweight, like not crazy or anything, but a little bit. And, you know, his mane was long and tangled, and he's got this really crazy, thick, ratty mane for a thoroughbred. So the first day he's there, I walk in, and he's in the stall. I'm like, oh, hi, horse, nice to meet you. And then I go into the other barn ride when the other horses completely ignore him. The next day, I go back out again, and he's standing there in his paddock, and he looks at me. And I think, you really look like you could use a good grooming. So I get my brushes, and I go out into his paddock. There's grass. There's hay. He's loose. I put my brushes down next to the fence. I get out the curry comb. I walk over, and I start brushing him, and he just stands there, and he looks happy. And this horse has the most expressive eyes in the whole world. You can always see exactly what he's thinking, and he just looks completely relaxed and happy and thrilled to be getting attention. So I finish the curry comb and I walk back over to the fence and he follows me over and I put it down and I get out my hard brush and then he walks back to the middle of the paddock where he was standing and stands there while I use the hard brush and he follows me back to get the soft brush and then goes back to the middle. And for an hour and a half, I groomed this horse and I shortened his mane and he just stood there and loved it. And every once in a while, he'd kind of turn around and look at me, or he'd kind of touch my side with his nose. I'm like, okay, I have to have you.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's so great. And he what?
He was completely green. I was just going to say he'd been standing in the pasture, didn't have anything done with him, so I pretty much had to start him back from scratch again. So I couldn't test ride him or anything. Didn't really have a good facility to even get a chance to see how he moved, and so I pretty much bought him on personality.
Which is a fantastic idea.
Really bad. It could have been really bad, but it wasn't. I really, really, really lucked out.
Yeah, yours worked out, but it's like buying a horse on personality is like buying him because he has a bad home.
Yeah.
Like buying a guy on personality. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a few panic moments after that, thinking, oh my goodness, why didn't you do the vet check? What if this horse has arthritis, is going to be lame the rest of his life? You know, a few panic moments here and there, but he's been fine. So,
That's what I wanted to touch base with you, because some people have different ideas of, in a pre-purchase, what is acceptable and what is not. And here's where we don't agree, is that, you know, you said get a vet check, but don't take it too seriously. You know, figure out, and I agree with this, figure out what issues you're willing to deal with and which ones you aren't. And you gave an example when it says, what kind of issues are you willing to deal with? And in parentheses, you put bad feet. And which ones you are not. Arthritis. Okay, I'm opposite.
Yeah.
Bad feet, you're gone. Arthritis, you can stay. I can fix that a little bit, you know. So it just depends on what you're willing to accept.
You totally can fix bad feet. You just have to be really, really, really patient. I think in most cases, maybe not every single case, but in a lot of cases, if you're really, really patient and you have a really, really good hoof care professional, that kind of thing can be fixed.
And a big checkbook.
Away,
let me throw
ever.
That in. Let me throw in a big checkbook.
Yep, Glenn, you're exactly right. Big checkbook.
Yeah.
Well, big checkbook for anything wrong with a horse. I mean, really,
come on.
So, Jackie, let me just go over your points here, and let me tell you where we went wrong this weekend, okay?
Okay.
A, make sure the horse is at the right ability level for you. This, you have no idea what ability this horse is at the level because he was so lame. Go for a test ride. We did kind of test ride him, but again, he was pretty lame. Get a vet check, but don't take it too seriously. Yeah, didn't get a vet check. Take a trainer or at least a knowledgeable friend. I am her trainer and knowledgeable friend, and I'm the overly emotional one, so bad call. So just to let you guys know, the veterinarian came out yesterday to look at this. Again, when we were going to shop for this horse, it was supposed to be a 17-hand, amateur-friendly, dead-broke, gray 10-year-old. And what we found was a 16 one-hand, flea-bitten, gray, lame 12-year-old that we ended up buying. So the vet came out yesterday. He's amazing. Dr. Anderson is the best. And he looked at him and he said, well, there's a lot of upside to this horse. He goes, here's what's currently wrong with him. He goes, what looks like is, and they ultrasound his tendon and everything, and he said, looks like they pulled him out of a field where he hadn't been doing anything for years, and they just worked the ever-living heck out of him, and he's just really, really sore from that. So, woohoo! He's got, you know, some arthritis in the hocks and standard 12-year-old kind of stuff. But for the most part, he said, we did a good job and that he's going to be okay. So, yay!
Oh, that's great news.
It's fantastic news. Fantastic news. So we're not going to have to shoot him like we thought.
Some time off, let him take it easy and then start him back slowly.
Yeah, exactly. And he gave us a good program there. But we actually have somebody on the phone right now, Jackie, and it's Debbie from Rate My Horse Pro. And this is something that I'm really excited about because you never know Like, this woman who was selling this horse this past weekend, I would have loved to find some inside information on this woman before I drove 12 hours to drive all the way up to Northern California to look at this horse, when clearly everything she said was a total lie. So this Rate My Horse Pro is going to do just that. Tell us about it, Debbie. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
Wonderful, wonderful, and thanks for having me back on the show. I had called in this morning because the last time I was on, we had not had our grand launch and our ratings weren't live, but as of yesterday, our ratings are live, so I wanted to let you and your listeners know that. And I just heard a little bit about your story that you drove such a long distance to check out a horse, which was clearly misrepresented.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we here at Rate My Horse Pro, that is one of the things that we want to help consumers find out. If, you know, before you got in your car or your truck to drive that distance, you could have at least gone to Rate My Horse Pro, checked out this trainer or the boarding facility to get, you know, to get some feedback. It could have very well helped you and saved you that trip.
Yeah, I would have liked for you to go live last week. Thanks a lot. Yeah. So here's my question, and someone like this, this person, I can't mention their name, but what is the benefit to a trainer putting themselves out there? Like, I signed up for it and I put myself out there, but also this is a two-part question. Let's stick with the first part first. Is what is the benefit to a trainer going in there and doing it if you can write bad things about people?
As far as you being a trainer and signing up yourself, how does it benefit you?
Yes.
It can be great exposure. It is something where your clients can go in and rate you. One of the things that we offer, too, is pro detail. So if you truly are a professional, it's almost like a glorified resume. You have your own page where you can put a picture, you can put all information about you or your stables, how to get in touch with you, your specialties, hourly rates, you know, whatever. I mean, you can enter that your own. Exactly.
Then the other thing is, you know, I am technically considered a professional because I give beginner riding lessons and everything, but I take lessons from other people, and I have some awesome coaches, but it won't let me rate my coaches.
It will not let you rate your coaches? Are they entered into the system?
Yes, they are, and they said I can't rate people because I'm signed in as a pro. So pros can't rate pros?
Correct. That's interesting. Yes, yes, yes. That's correct. One of the things that you know that we could recommend that you do, if some of your customers, your clients, people that you work with, have them rate those. Have them rate the people that are doing really well. The whole purpose of the site is to, promote the good people in the industry. Yeah, you can find out some of who the bad ones are, but the main thing is that we want to promote people such as yourself that are doing a really good job in trying to make the industry better for everybody.
So that you're not allowed as a pro, if you're in there as a pro, which, you
know,
most
other pros.
People...
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of more of a safety feature. We have a lot of little safety features. We don't want pros.
You don't want neighboring horse riding lesson givers to crash each other. Yeah, I got it.
Exactly.
I get that.
Exactly.
I get that.
I wanted to write something positive. See? I did. My coach Frederick is awesome. My other coach Colleen is fantastic. I wanted to write happy, nice things about them. So everybody else should know.
And then she wanted to write lovely things about this nice lady who lies about selling horses in California.
No,
you know what? I have an
option.
Jamie, I have an option for you. You could get your husband to sign up and have him write about the lovely lady in California.
Well, you know what? Because like you said, Debbie, it's people that want to do the best thing for the horse business and for horse people. This woman has not signed up. Trust me, I have looked for her because I would have to write some pretty nasty stuff. But you're right. The people that are the good, the honest, they're going to be on here because they've got more to lose. You know, I try to do everything as good as I can and as honestly as I can and to be, you know, upfront with people and talk, you know, and give them all the details. And Jackie, I know that, you know, you're a trainer and you're coach, and obviously you live your life out there being that you put everything on your blog. We're the kind of people that would benefit from this website and would sign up. Not so much the horse dealers that are not going to be, you know, upfront and honest. Am I right?
Yeah, definitely. And in my real life as an internet marketer, when I'm not doing horsey things, you know, that makes a lot of sense, too. Review sites are a fantastic thing for people who do their business as well.
Yeah, not too good for bad.
I want to interrupt here real quick. Susan Nelson just wrote on our Facebook page. She's a regular listener. She said, Rate My Horse Pro wants your credit card to bill you $5. Why would I pay for something that might not be useful? Don't like any service that wants credit card up front, especially without a history of usefulness. Now, you explained that to us the last time, so explain again why that's important.
Well, the $5 is a verification fee, and that's just to help us verify you are who you are, and it stops people from going on and just bashing people, just doing nothing but writing bad reviews. It gives us a way as a safeguard to help, you know, protect the good, honest people that are out there.
Yeah,
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right, and it keeps, you know, the 12-year-olds off the site.
right.
Exactly.
I agree simply because it justifies, you know, you can't go on there and just start trashing people right and left unless you actually have to be who you say you are, because yeah, you're checking, you know, the name versus the address, and you're verifying everything. I mean, it was to sign up for it. It was a lot of to sign up as the pro part of it. It was a lot of homework that I had to do. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to fill out. There's a lot of stuff to write down. There's a lot of stuff to, you know, all about me and my business. But I think it's a great idea because now, just, you know, Jack next door who hates me can't go on and write something nasty because he has to actually verify who he is. He can't say he's, you know, Cindy from down the street. He has to say who he is.
Yeah, Jack from next door. Exactly. And you know, that's the whole point. It's a safeguard that is set up to help protective professionals. And it, you know, interestingly, I'm glad you brought up that you had to actually do your homework. The misconception with a lot of people, they think if they go to the site, they just go on and check, you know, 1 through 5, do you like me? And that's really not what it's about. If you've gone on to see, there's lots of in-depth questions, and it's not just a one-question rating. It could be everything from barn management to pastures to their knowledge of the industry, lots and lots of things for them to rate. So it gives, I think, by having so many things for them to a consumer to go in and rate, be it a professional, a barn, farrier, whatever, you get a good sense of that person or that facility, because they cover just about anything anybody would want to know.
Well, I do appreciate your site, and I do like what you're going to do, and we will definitely keep in touch with you, because just as the site develops and everything, we'd like to be a part of it. And now, if we can become, like, best friends, then you can make sure nobody goes in and writes anything bad about me.
Your new BFF.
You're totally my new BFF, okay?
Well, thank you so much for having me back on. And like I said, I just wanted to let you and your listeners know that we had our grand launch yesterday, and we're giving lots of wonderful giveaways to our members via our Facebook page. So if you are a Facebook member, you might want to go and check it out. And if you're not, you might want to go over to our page and look and see all the wonderful things that that we are giving away, drawings that we're having for our members.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, listen, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again soon. And actually, our next guest is on the line, Jackie, so even though you're my soul sister and we're connected, we're going to have to go.
All right. Well,
but keep writing.
Great talking with you. I will.
Great talking with you, too, and keep writing about my life as it happens.
Thanks, Jackie.
It's amazing.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Jackie.
Bye.
This half hour is sponsored by EZSignsOnline.com. Visit our friends at EZSignsOnline.com and browse their unique website to see their many custom sign options and styles. Their step-by-step sign ordering process allows you to choose your sign options to see all the pricing up front. From vinyl banners, magnetic vehicle signs, stall nameplates, to farm entrance signs, they also have business, school, and church signs. Another unique product they have are called decorative vinyl wall graphics, designed to be placed on any smooth indoor wall. Add a decorative touch to your rec room, bedroom, and kitchen. Choose from dozens of animal subjects online, including horses. That's EZSignsOnline.com. Thank you so much for continuing to support us despite ourselves. We appreciate it.
Hey, I got an email from your brother, by the way, and he's like, remember I told the story of the top of the sign blowing off and going down the street?
Yeah.
your brother of Easy Signs Online sends me an email, and he's like, you know, I could read the tone. He didn't say this, but I could read the tone. I was like, hey, dummy, there's double-sided tape. Just peel it off and stick it on, and then you won't have to chase the things down the street anymore. I'm like, I didn't notice that. So, yeah, there's double-sided tape inside the little thingy that we could stick on there. So, yeah, thanks, Wayne, for telling me ahead of time. Okay, carry on. Sorry.
Actually, I think our next guest is ready, and this is something
Yay.
That's happening out your way. Something out your
I
way.
I know. You know, as much as we've been talking about raining and, you know, the Western world and trying to kind of get in a little more involved in it as far as my end, because all my training has always been English. And, I'm interested in cutting. I'm interested in raining. And, heck, you know, obviously we all know that raining is where the money is at this point. So we actually are having a huge show here in Arizona. And we've got Amanda Brumley from the Cactus Classic Horse Show. I couldn't think of something more appropriately named. The Cactus Classic Horse Show here. Good morning, Amanda. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Well, great. So tell us a little bit about the Cactus Classic. What is it and where is it?
The Cactus Raining Classic is located in Scottsdale, Arizona. It's a perfect time of year to be here. It's
yeah.
at West World of Scottsdale. It's a gorgeous facility. We have about 100,000 plus in added money and awards. We attract the who's who of the reining horse industry, and it's just overall the horse show is a lot of fun. We have parties and benefits and things to do for kids, and it's just a lot of fun.
Now, you guys, we've had many of the top reiners on. We just had Sean Florida on the other day, and Tom McCutcheon and all of them. So I assume that's the kind of reining talent that you get to come out there?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
We are fortunate enough to have several million-dollar riders. Andrea Fapani is one of them, who's now located here in Scottsdale. We bring people down from Canada. We've had horses from Mexico, even horses all across this country. So it has a really great turnout. The competition level is unreal. As far as the Open Derby, you'll see fantastic horses and riders, and it's just a very impressive level of competition for reining.
Now, isn't it also part of like a trifecta kind of thing? Don't you also, aren't you also involved somehow with the Raining by the Bay up there in California and the High Roller one?
It's actually the first of three shows that I produce here on the West Coast. The Trifecta Raining Challenge was created last year, and it is part of what we have put together for the Four Seasons. The Four Seasons is an incredibly generous sponsor to our events and has provided us with a package usually to a absolutely incredible getaway. Last year, it was the Four Seasons Maui in Hawaii. This year, it's the Four Seasons in Jackson Hole, which I don't know if you've Googled that facility because it is stunning. It is the only ski-in, ski-out facility, and it's absolutely beautiful. Spring, summer, winter, fall, doesn't matter what time of year, the place is great. And, of course, the service at the Four Seasons is incredible. So the trifecta starts with the Cactus Classic. They have to compete for non-professionals. They have to compete in all three shows to be eligible to win. And it is part of the non-pro derby. And the person at the end of the High Roller Reading Classic in September with the most money won from all three shows gets a trip to Jackson Hole this year.
Oh, well, that's terrific.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun to me. I'm ready. I need a few things. I need to learn how to ride reining and do it very quickly. Those are the two things I need to do. To get a horse.
That would be a key thing for you. You need a horse.
we could make Beaker into a reining horse, no problem. He's a quarter horse. He can figure that out.
He can do a non-sliding stop from a trot.
That might be a little difficult.
He can do a screech to a halt on your forehand stop.
that's really not advisable. You end it falling down.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you do all the typical, is it like a typical reining show where they do the patterns and the tests, but they also have the freestyle and everything?
Actually, we don't have the freestyle here because most of the time it's an invitation type of division for the West Coast. And with our scheduling and we have such big classes, it's very difficult. But we do have, it's new for this year, is the 10 and under short stirrup class. And it is presented by Bish's RV. And I don't know if you have ever seen this class, but, I mean, it brings everybody to their feet clapping, and the kids are just great. And so we're
How
really
cute
excited.
Is that? Do they ride Tony?
It's darling. And the horses are just little machines. They just go around for these kids and do their jobs, and you're just amazed.
Now, you have this at Westworld. Isn't that the place where they hold the big car auction every year that just happened?
Exactly. Yeah, the Barrett Jackson car auction, yep, was just there. Right now, the Scottsdale Arabian Horse Show is there, and that's over 2,000 horses there right now. It's a huge facility, right in a great location in Scottsdale. We're close to restaurants and shopping and right across the street from the Scottsdale Airport. It's just a fantastic facility.
Jamie, I wish we could. I wish we had the time and money right now to fly out and visit you. We could go to the Raining Classic. That sounds like a blast.
Exactly.
I know.
A lot of fun. And the great thing about Westworld is, too, is there's usually a lot of things going on at the same time. We do have a vendor show, which is part of our event. But at the same time, there's a dog show that's down on the polo field. There's just a lot of things going on here in Scottsdale at that time. Spring training's coming up. So it's a great place to be.
It absolutely is. The world championship San Francisco Giants are based in Scottsdale. So if you want to go see the World Series winners, Glenn, at the end of a baseball season, they have one big game that's called a World Series. And then they all compete for the best team. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, San Francisco Giants, are they football? Is that the...
It's a baseball team. It's the little white ball. Anyway, pitch and catch. No, okay. They're in Scottsdale as well. So it actually is a super time to be in Scottsdale. And I will tell you, it is the only time that Chad and I make the journey to Scottsdale is every spring when all the stuff is going on out there. It's a very interesting town and very exciting. So, but definitely a long drive for those of us living in the West Valley, but it's definitely worth it. So thank you so much for being on the show. As far as tickets and all that, how much, where can we go to learn more about the show?
Oh, there's absolutely no charge for either admission or parking.
Really?
Free to the public.
Oh, she deserves a round of applause for that. That's terrific. Yes, you guys.
Our parties, we have on Friday evening, we have the Silver Spurs Equine Nick It in the Bud exhibitors party. And then on Saturday evening, we have the Open Derby Celebration, which is free to everyone. We have food and drinks set up, and that's presented by Rancho Cerrillo Scottsdale.
Holy cow, that is not what I expected to hear. You know, Janie,
yeah.
So you got good entertainment
great food,
free in Scottsdale.
Lots of fun.
Well,
yeah,
that's
nothing
terrific.
Nothing free in Scottsdale except this. That's awesome. is there a website we can go find out more just in case people didn't have their pens and papers with them?
Absolutely. The event website is cactus-raining-classic.com.
Cactusraining.com. Fantastic.
All the information is located there at the website. And, of course, there is an email. You can click on the email and always shoot the email. Come straight to me. I can answer anybody's questions that they might have. And we hope to see a lot of people turning out. We do have a silent auction benefit for a four-year-old boy who's very, very ill. So we'll have a lot of silent auction items there. The proceeds go to benefit his medical expenses for Grant Berg. His parents are trainers in the reining horse industry, Mike and Christy Berg, and their little boy has quite an illness. So the reiners are stepping up and donating tons and tons of items and services. We've got fishing trips. We've got everything that'll be there for silent auction to benefit Grant Berg.
Okay, well, that's terrific. And this is March 9th through the 13th. We wish you good luck this year. Have fun. And I know there'll be some hooting and hollering going on over in Scottsdale on those days.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Be here at the weekend during that big competition, on the Open Derby on Saturday, and the roof practically comes off the Equidome.
All right. Thank you, Amanda. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You guys have a good day.
All right, bye-bye. So that's Amanda from the Cactus Raining Classic. We'll put links to that in our show notes, and I'll post a link to it on Facebook as well.
Dude, nothing is free in Phoenix. I'm in Scottsdale. That's craziness.
Were you shocked when she said that? I was shocked. I was like, wow. You know, I've never seen a show like this free before. You know, that's terrific. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, this half hour is sponsored by Eco Gold. Eco Gold has high-performance saddle pads and horse boots that are non-slip, 100% breathable, and the ultimate in comfort and protection for your horse. Made with high-tech materials and state-of-the-art design, Eco Gold's innovative products are the choice of top riders Philip Dutton, McLean Ward, Ashley Holzer, Karen O'Connor, Boyd Martin, and our friend Jessica Phoenix. For more information about this fantastic line of products, visit ecogold.ca. You've got to go to their website, Jamie, when you have a chance sometime. Go to ecogold.ca for Canada, and they have a video on there. It's the axe video. Just go to the one that has the axe, and where they're demonstrating their products by taking an axe to them. That's an impressive video. I was very impressed when I watched them whacking their products with an axe. It was very impressive.
That's cool. But I'm just saying, who is like, these names are ridiculous. Philip Dutton, McLean Ward, Karen O'Connor, Boyd Martin, Jessica, like crazy. That's awesome.
Yes. Well, this song, I thought, you know, I was feeling Western, talking about raining, and you know there's going to be some terrific shopping there. You'd be able to go over there and get a new cowboy hat, Jamie, maybe some cowboy boots and a big bad belt buckle, yeah. So I was thinking Western, which makes me think of Trish Lynn. You can find all of her music at trishlynn.com. It's time to ride.
Well,
I am Jamie Jennings along with Glenn the Geek, and we are brought to you today by EZSignsOnline.com. And Glenn, I got to let you know that there's some more talk going on the Derby horse, Uncle Mo.
All right. What, yeah. What's up with Uncle Mo?
Uncle Mo apparently is going to have a race here pretty soon. So, you know, the thing is, everybody's talking about this horse. It's Mike Rapoli's horse. When he was 2 years old, he won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He has won everything, and not by a little. The horse kicked everybody else's butt. So he's going to have his first race as a three-year-old, and they're just trying to decide, do we race him in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby, which is $350,000, or do they run him in the $100,000 Timely Rider, a stake at Gulfstream Park? And basically, they're trying to decide the closer one that pays less or the further one that pays more and is a longer race. So at any rate, we will see by March 12th, he will have another race underneath his belt. And of course, this is our horse. We're vying for the Derby. I feel like I'm part of Uncle Mo because I'm his Facebook friend. Okay, we are friends. And so he's going to be going hopefully to run there. But I did think this was pretty funny because
go ahead. No, I was just going to say, I was just looking at the article here, and I think it's what you were going to talk about. Go ahead. It almost, by the way, after you say this next thing, it almost makes me want to find another horse to follow for the Derby.
Well, you got to think, this is the owner, and this is the guy that created Vitamin Water, okay? So he is clearly, he's a big deal, and he believes his horse is quite a big deal as well. So we'll just follow his career as a three-year-old. I'm behind him. But he said that right now, the only thing we know for sure is that Mo will race on March 12th. We'll tell everybody who our choices are, blah, blah, blah. And now, quote, normally we could wait until the week of both races to decide, but with a superstar horse like Mo, we want to be fair to the public and to the racetracks by giving them 17 or 18 days notice so that everyone can make plans. It's the right thing to do.
I don't know. That's a...
Does he really have that many fans? I mean,
no, not as many as Zenyatta, that's for sure.
Exactly. Zenyatta, I don't think, really started garnering the attention that she has now until about the 12th or 15th race when everybody was like, whoa, this mare can't lose. So, you know, granted, the horse has kicked some major butt in his 2-year-old career, but he hasn't run at three. And they just
just the kind of the arrogant way that this thing was typed. I don't know if he said it like that, but a superstar horse like Mo, we want to be fair and to the racetracks, give him plenty of notice. It's the right thing to do. It just sounded a little bit hoity-toity, but the guy's notoriously pretty funny and outgoing, so maybe he was just being funny. Who
well,
knows?
You know, maybe he can give us a call on the phone and give us an update. Just give us a call.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, we'll be waiting for that call.
He could be listening.
I'm going to get him on here. I'm going to get him or Todd Pletcher. We're going to talk to one of these guys about the MMO.
All right, you do that. You have contacts in that world, so we're waiting. Hey, we have our next guest on the line. We want to talk about a very interesting book that she has done. And, of course, you know, we are all about music here, too, on Horses in the Morning. And I know Janie, you know, used to work at a country music station in Atlanta. And, you know, she's a big country music fan. And of course, a lot of country music singers, higher and lower level singers, have horses. So we're going to talk about a book that Lisa Wysocki has written that it combines the two. Talks about country singers who have horses and their affinity for horses. But first, I wanted to mention, for all of you interested in flying to Wellington, I think it's New Zealand, actually. If you want to fly to Wellington, New Zealand, or Australia, I'm not sure which it is, to be honest with you. Tuesday, February 15th, you missed it. Oh, no, it was just listed then. It's coming up on February the 26th. You still have time to fly there because they're doing a casting call for The Hobbit. It's the next movie in the line. Remember the trilogy? Well, this is The Hobbit now. The Lord of the Rings trilogy was the prequel, and now this is The Hobbit. And they're looking for elven horse riders and elven extras. And so that means the elven, and if you horse ride, they'll be through. Now, the men have to be age 17 to 40 and 6 foot or taller, so apparently elvens were very large. And women have to be age 17 to 40 and have to be 5'9" or taller, so their women were tall too. So there it is on February the 26th, Wellington, it says. So that's where you can go to try out to be an extra in The Hobbit movie. By the way, I absolutely hated The Lord of the Rings, all three of them. My wife made me sit through all three of them. I think I slept through most of them, did not like them at all whatsoever. So just thought I'd bring that up.
You watch your mouth. I'm sorry, Viggo Mortensen on a horse. If there is a movie with Viggo on a horse, it is a good movie. And he was the king, okay? Return to the King, Return of the King, phenomenal. It was awesome. I'm mad because I don't qualify as an elf. Apparently,
you don't really qualify
sure.
as an elven. Yeah, you're way too short for an elven. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to go to our next guest on that note before Jennifer gets totally mad at me for hating on the hobbits and the elvens. We have Lisa Wysocki with us, and I've known Lisa for a little while now. She is an author of several books, but the book we're talking about now, and Jennifer had a chance to do some reading of it, so she's going to join us too. It's called Horse Country, A Celebration of Country Music and the Love of Horses. Good morning, Lisa, and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Well, you know, Lisa, it's so much fun. We play music. It's one of the only shows we do on the Horse Radio Network where we play music every morning, and we interview musicians that are in the horse world. We try and do one of those shows every month. And you had the opportunity to do this book. Tell us how it came about and how cool it must have been.
You know, I was involved in the horse industry from the time I was very small and had an injury to my knee and got out of horses for a while. And the only other thing I was really passionate about was country music. So I became a publicist and artist manager and record label executive for a while in the music industry. And I was backstage at an awards show once and was talking to Charlie Daniels, and he said, you know, he said, this is great, but he said, I'd really rather be riding. And we had this fabulous conversation about horses and what they meant to him. And another time I was at a public relations thing where all the artists were being interviewed by a lot of different journalists. And Brad Paisley said, gee, I wish my best friend was here. And I said, well, why didn't you bring him, you know? And he said, well, it'd be kind of hard. He's a horse. And so we started talking about his horse Pal, and I thought, you know, wouldn't it be great to bring these stories and this passion that the country music artists have about their horses to the public? And, you know, we all have a fascination with celebrities, and it's really interesting to me, and I think to a lot of the readers of the book, to find out that celebrities and country music artists in particular love their horses just like we love ours.
Well, you know, okay, that is fascinating. By the way, yeah, go ahead, Jamie. You're thinking the same thing I am. Go ahead.
No, well, you better not be thinking what I'm thinking, because I'm sorry. Brad Paisley loves his horse. Oh, my God. I love him more now.
Yes.
That's the sweetest thing ever. I didn't know that.
And get this. His horse's name is Pal, because he's his pal. He's also
Palomino. That's so cute.
Jamie, what I was thinking is, there is Lisa sitting here going, yeah, when I was backstage talking to Charlie Daniels and Brad Paisley, like, it's an everyday thing that we all get to do, you know? That's what I was thinking.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
You know, in the music industry, you know, it's really part of a job. It's just like mucking out stalls for horse people, I guess. You know, you love it, but, you know, there are some things you'd probably rather be doing, It's fun.
It's
and
exhausting.
It's unusual, but, you know, celebrities are just like the rest of us. They're just people, and some you like and some you don't.
Well, let's talk. Can I bring up a couple of them in specific that I know that the audience will know? We can chat a little bit about them. By the way, when you pursued the book, did you get to go to their barns, or how did you do that?
Yeah, you know, some of the interviews I did over the phone, but a lot of them I did in person. I went to a lot of the barns. Saw some people ride and rode with a couple people. It was really, really interesting to really see them relax and have these great conversations about really what horses meant to them. And when I started the book, I was really afraid I'd get a lot of the same stories about, oh, maybe horses were their relaxation, their downtime from, you know, stardom. But, and there are a few of those very different from each other, but there's a lot of variety in what horses mean to these stars.
Now, you have a couple on here, so tell us about Charlie Daniels. Of course, he's a classic and a legend, and I think he has a farm near Nashville, doesn't he?
He does. The Twin Pines Farm is just east of Nashville, and unfortunately he had a barn fire maybe about a month ago and lost about a dozen horses. And yeah, devastated about that. But you know, he talks about two horses specifically, but one is a paint mare called Fat Gal, and her registered name was Rialto's Lady, and she really was the foundation broodmare for his farm. And he and that horse just absolutely clicked, and she was like his soulmate, his equine soulmate in so many ways. And when she passed away at a ripe old age, his farm manager gave Charlie a watch chain that was made from her mane and tail hairs. And he said that really is one of his most treasured possessions on earth.
Aw, that is so sweet. Now, I got to tell you this story. I got to sell out my in-laws a little bit. My husband's parents live in Norman, Oklahoma, and they live about 3 miles from Toby Keith and his big giant ranch that he has in Norman, Oklahoma. And every single time they pick us up from the airport, they're like, "There's Toby Keith's house." And then every time we go back down the street to the grocery store, "Hey, do you know Toby Keith lives there?" And then we go back down to, you know, coming home from the grocery store, and they go, "Did you see Toby Keith's house?" So, you know, I would like to get some inside information on what is going on in Toby Keith's compound so I can drop some serious knowledge next time I'm there.
Well, I can tell you this. Toby spends a lot of his downtime studying thoroughbred pedigrees, and he's really big into the thoroughbred racing world and has actually run some horses that have won some fairly prestigious races. And Toby looks at his interest in horses as his second career. And, you know, you look at Toby Keith, and he's really this larger-than-life guy. I mean, he's huge. He's like 6'3 or 6'4, a former football player, but he lives his life in a really large way, too, and you just don't think of him as somebody who really is passionate about horses and understanding horse conformation and pedigree and desire and picking out that drive and the will to win that a yearling might have or a two-year-old, and that is him. And he is probably riding down the road in the back of his bus right now, talking to his farm manager or his trainer or looking at the latest pedigree charts.
Okay, so what I can say is I'll say, hey, that's Toby Keith's house right there, and you know what he does? He's a really big into the thoroughbred race world, and he probably is in there studying pedigrees right now as he's driving on his bus. I'm going to totally quote you. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's true.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. And you have the knowledge to back it up. So, you know, I was really surprised to hear that Kix Brooks is a horse guy, too, from Brooks
and
Dunn.
Big time. You know, and it's really interesting because his story ties in with another story in the book with Chris Cagles, in that Chris Kix loved the horse in the My Maria video. If you ever have a chance to watch some of the music videos, there's a big black horse that Kix is riding called Preto, and Kix just fell in love with that horse and purchased the horse after the video shoot. And brought it home, and they have just bonded, and Kix spends a lot of time with Preto. But what's really interesting is when I was talking to Chris Cagle, Chris had a new yearling filly, a dark-colored yearling filly, and he didn't know what to name her, and he had the radio on. And the My Maria song came on, and this horse started bobbing her head in time to the beat of the song. And so he named this filly Maria, which I think is really cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
These are stories you never would know.
You never would. No, no, it's great.
So what is, I see here, I've got the list of names, and I'm sorry. He is the ultimate cowboy. He's known for something else completely different than horses. I didn't know Willie Nelson was a horse guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Willie is really, he's an activist, and he was very much politically involved in the whole horse slaughter legislation and very much an advocate for adoption of horses. He's on the board of a horse rescue organization in Texas and has actually adopted more than 24 horses himself. And we have a photo in the book, a nice color photo that a friend of Willie's took, of Willie crouching down and kind of blowing into the nose of some yearlings that he adopted. And just, it's such a touching and tender photo, and you just totally look at Willie a completely different way. And for him to start talking about horses, it just really brought a lump into my throat, because he's so passionate about the fact that horses really, our country was built on the foundation of horses. We used horses for transportation, and if it hadn't been for the horse, we would not have been able to, you know, to settle the United States of America. And he just really thinks that the horse should be our national symbol instead of the eagle.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either, but you know what? I know you're getting a little squishy with us, because I started to feel it a little bit, but I got to go back to the Toby Keith and Willie Nelson song, Whiskey for My Men and Beer for My Horses. It gives it a whole new meaning now.
It really does, doesn't it? Yeah.
I mean,
really
they
does.
Probably do give beer to their horses, because they both have.
You know,
I have heard
through some racehorse trainers that beer actually isn't all that bad for some horses, and it really puts a shine on their coat.
Well, I just wanted to say that Willie's horses are probably probably the happiest farm around. They're all very happy at Willie's farm. Hey, I wanted to ask you too.
Yes.
We have to talk about some females too, and of course we're talking to Lisa Wysocki. She's the author of Horse Country, A Celebration of Country Music and the Love of Horses. You can buy it on Amazon. By the way, congratulations! You have 5 stars on Amazon. There's not too many that get that distinction.
Thank you.
And Jennifer, let's bring Jennifer into the conversation a little bit. You had a chance to read the book. We are not huge country fans until actually about a year ago. Till Carrie Underwood, and then I became a country fan. So Jennifer, tell us what you thought, you know, not being a huge country fan and then reading the book.
I thought, first and foremost, the the icons of country music that are included in the book, like Charlie Daniels and George Jones. I went, oh, cool, because I did recognize those names because, hello, you know, unless you've been living in a cave for the past 50 years, you would have heard of them. So that really kind of piqued my curiosity, and then I started reading some of the other ones, and I just found the stories fascinating, even though I wasn't a country music fan, that obviously this is a very prominent megastar of the country world. You have to appreciate that because you very thoughtfully put in there a biography of who they are for for a fan, a non-fan of country music reading the book will get the background. It'll make sense. So I'm reading along, and I'm, you know, you talk about how many awards this person won. It's like, wow, that's a big country music star. And then you get to the part about the horses. So that was really cool to read, like you said, all the different ways that these people who live that lifestyle appreciate horses, and then the ones that are the icons to read that. The Charlie Daniels story I thought was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that one.
Thank you. You know, what I really like, too, you know, when an author sends a book out to the publisher, you know, you turn your manuscript in, you really have no control over the physical look of the book. And when they sent the pages back to me, the typeset pages back to me, I was just blown away because it's a four-color book throughout, and I totally didn't expect that at all. And the photos and the graphics that are in the book just, to me, are just stunning. And I was so pleased. The Lions Press published the book, and they just did a fabulous job on the production of it.
Well,
yeah, usually you get black and white, and that's it. Yeah.
Oh no, this is very colorful.
yeah, it really is. I was quite surprised and very, very pleased that they would do that for this book because I think it adds a lot. The color photos are great.
Well, I can't wait to see it, and I'm curious to know because, you know, granted, this is a long, extensive list of country music artists that have horses, but it just seems like you could go even deeper. I mean, are you planning on book number two with Gretchen Wilson and Shania Twain and George Strait and those kind of guys?
You know, I probably will at some point. You know, this book is still relatively new. I'll probably wait a couple of years and go back. You know, there are so many. When I first tapped the idea for this book and I made my hit list, so to speak, I had well over 100 artists that were very, you know, well known, and there are 27 of them in this book. And certainly there's room to go back and talk to some people that we didn't get to talk to this time around. So, but I think I'll wait a little bit and let everybody enjoy this book first.
I see what you're doing. You're building a sequel. It's going to be like, you know, people can't wait for the next edition of the book to come out because who's going to be in it next? I love this idea. You're fantastic. I can't wait to see the book, and I can't wait to read it. And you know that the market for finding out what's going on in the behind the doors of celebrities' lives is what this world seems to be all about right now with, you know, you've got all those gossip websites and the magazines, and that's what people do. It's news. Entertainment is news now. And you're providing an open door to see kind of how these people are in their real life. So I think it's going to be a huge success. I'm super excited for you, and I can't wait to see it.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate that.
Well, Lisa, I have to ask, when's the I see a TV series. You could have a half-an-hour show on each one of these. I see either Country Music TV or Animal Planet, and you as the host.
You know,
so what do you think?
We've been working on that. We actually have been working on that.
Oh, really?
I've got a team of people behind me. Yeah, we've been working on some things. So, you know, hopefully, and not just limited to country artists, you know, there's a lot of rock stars who have horses. We could do rocking horses and a lot of, you know, political figures and sports stars are, you know, a lot of people are interested in horses, as you know, because they're fabulous in so many, many different ways.
I love it. Instead of Cribs, instead of MTV Cribs, it's MTV Barns.
Wouldn't that be cool?
I love it.
That would be great.
Lisa, one thing we didn't do was talk about the females of this group. So if you had a female, you have Tonya Tucker in there, you got Heidi Newfield, you got a whole bunch of females in there. Which one really stood out for you as maybe one you visited that you went, wow, this is really cool?
Well, you know, it's hard to narrow it down to one because everybody has a great story. I will say a couple of things really briefly. Janice Oliver, who is part of Sweethearts of the Rodeo, she has a phenomenal bond with her Frisian gelding, Redondo. And I went to her barn and talked to her and talked to Redondo, too. And the love that they have for each other and the connection is as strong as any I've ever seen between horse and human. And that was really a privilege to be able to witness that. And, of course, Lynn Anderson is just an icon in country music. But I think a lot of people don't realize how much of an impact she has had on the cutting horse world and in the paint horse world and also in the quarter horse world. She's bred many, many very famous foundation mares and stallions who are in various Hall of Fames. And I don't understand why she's not in the Cowgirl Hall of Fame. I mean, she really, really needs to be. She is an exceptional horsewoman.
Well, we just had a post on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning that Karen said, country music stars and horses, a great combination. Probably my next purchase. And Karen, we think it should be. If you want to learn more about all of these stars and all of their, you know, about their background with horses, and it is a beautiful book. You can find it on. Is Amazon the best place, or do you have any other?
They're in stores online everywhere. So wherever their purchase place of choice is, if the store doesn't have it in stock, they can certainly order it. But you know, Amazon tends to have some pretty good prices, so that's where I would go.
All right, that's terrific. It's a hardcover book too, and it is beautiful, full color. You're just gonna like looking at the pictures if nothing else. Lisa, this has been terrific. I know you have a couple of other books out, too, and maybe we'll get together. You have a book called My Horse, My Partner, and a couple of others, so maybe we'll get together to talk about that at a different time. Yeah, and
that would be a lot of fun.
And we'll get to see – I think we're going to get to see you up here next month in Lexington, aren't we?
Yes, I am. Yeah, we'll get to hang out
good.
And have a lot of fun.
All right, good. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you, Lisa. You've been terrific. Thank you so much. And if you could just get Charlie Daniels to call on the show one morning, we would be thrilled.
I'll see if I can make that happen.
All right, good.
I'll call his publicist.
Bye, Lisa. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a great guest. She's terrific.
Oh, my gosh. That is so exciting. I love her. She's just like telling it like it is. You know, what a cool thing. And I would be a nervous wreck to go interview these people about their horses. But what a great
idea. She was just like, I was just chatting with Charlie Daniels backstage. And we were talking about horses, just chatting with Brad Paisley. You know, it's like, yeah, do it all day, every day. Well, she used to be a publicist, and she's really big in the Nashville scene. And she is a fascinating person. She's, as you can tell, she's a great storyteller, and she's a fascinating individual to just sit down and talk to. Well, I got to meet her last year. She came up to Lexington. We got to spend a little time together. I'm looking forward to seeing her again. So that's the book is Horse Country. Just search for Horse Country, and you'll find it on Amazon. And do us a favor. Stop over to our website at horsesinthemorning.com. There's an Amazon link on the left side of the page. Click there before you go buy anything at Amazon. Doesn't cost you any more or nothing, but we get a little bit of a kickback from Amazon if you click on that Amazon link and help support the Horse Radio Network. Got a good guest there, didn't I, Jamie?
You did a fantastic job. I love it. I love talking horses and country music. I mean, because those two things are just two of my favorite things in the world. And I don't know if you've noticed, Glenn, that some people are a little upset with you on Facebook because you said you hated the Lord of the Rings movies. And, you know, that's just not okay with Robert and I. Jackie, who said, further proof that we're soul sisters, Jamie, I agree completely about Viggo on a horse. I mean, really, it's awesome. Viggo Mortensen on a horse any day.
I did like, I will say this, there was one shining moment in those movies, and that was the blonde chick. The main character there. I can't remember her name or even what she did. But she was very pretty. She made it visually acceptable at some points in that 16-hour trilogy. Those movies just seemed to go on forever. They were like 4 hours each. And then you're sitting in the theater and, you know, I think I took like 6 potty breaks during those movies. Sorry, guys. I'm not a lover.
It was 4 hours of awesomeness.
Did you do the books? I couldn't read the books either. The books were just, I just could not do the books either. Jennifer loved the books. We own the books.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't
read
do
the books. Love the books.
Yeah.
I read The Hobbit, and I read another one. I didn't read the Lord of the Rings trilogy because it was coming out on movie, and I was like, why? I didn't go see the movie.
Well, there's another story here I wanted to bring up before the end of the show that you posted in here, and that's about the hay airlifted onto a Montana ranch. And it's, you know, what it's talking about here is a ranch that was, there's something wrong with this story, first of all. It was a ranch, let's see, how many acres? 40,000 acre ranch. First of all, that's pretty big. And there are up to 700 horses on this ranch. Well, apparently it was sold in foreclosure sale last year, but the horses remain. So it was foreclosed upon last year, and the horses stayed there. And it's, and then over the winter, because it's so snowy and everything, so cold this year, they flew in 14 round bales of hay to the horses in the remote parts of the ranch. Billings Flying Service apparently flew a bunch of hay into the horses. So, and I was going, have these horses had nobody caring for them at all? Has nothing happened during the year since it foreclosed? I mean, it just kind of, you know, I just kind of went, wow. You know, what,
no, it's a horrible story. I mean, this story has been headlines on CNN because basically this 40,000 acre ranch sold, then the guy foreclosed on it. I thought he foreclosed on it after he bought it. And these 700 horses are roaming this cattle ranch. Now, granted, in the summertime, I'm sure they're fine. There's food, there's water, you know, there's 40,000 acres, there's got to be a creek on it somewhere. It's probably the most fun they've ever had. Unfortunately, wintertime came, and they were reported to the authorities because, oh my gosh, they're all emaciated and dying because there are so many horses and there's no food to eat. They're not trained to, like, dig a hole and eat the, you know, roots or whatever. They're just standard horses. So, they're trying to figure out a way to round them all up, capture, and then treat them, and then transport them. But, no, they're all dying. So that's why the Billings authorities have been flying round bales and dropping them on there. Because this ranch is so remote, nobody even knew that they were there or something until somebody reported them, is what I've heard happen.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I was wondering how that came about.
So that was a horrible story. Foreclosed on the property, forgot to mention it.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. They're trying to figure out, you know, now the legalities of whose horses these are. Because I know from experience here, you can't go take an animal off of a property. Like, my neighbor found two dogs in a foreclosure that was, they had been left in the backyard. So she called the Humane Society or the dog patrol or whatever, and they said, I'm sorry, we can't go get those dogs off that property without the owner's permission. Well, the owner is the bank. Do you think the bank cares for 2 seconds about two dogs that are sitting in the backyard? You know, not really, because they've got other things to worry about. So that's kind of the problem, is the legality of whose horses are these and who has the legal right to go in and take these horses and find them somewhere to go. So that's kind of one of the problems.
Okay. Well, I have a happier story, and we'll end the day with this. Two things. One is, thanks, Rick, for posting on our Facebook page. Lots of talking going on there this morning. He posted a photo. He said, this is a photo of my truck with a decal of my logo printed by Easy Signs Online. It was made from a file I uploaded to them, and it has drawn a lot of attention. The quality was awesome, and he put a picture of his truck with, and it is, it's a very stunning photo he has, and I can see why it would get a lot of attention driving around. So thanks, Rick, for posting that. EasySignsOnline.com. You can even get stickers for your truck. We have to get Horse Radio Network stickers to put on all our cars. That'd be fun.
They're magnets. It's even cooler. So they don't stick to your car. They're just magnets. You peel them off, stick them on your other truck.
That's right. Yep. And then I wanted to mention we have our monthly collegiate. Our collegiate person coming up next month, that we honor one collegiate every month. And I wanted to mention that I didn't realize this. that the equestrian teams are from the Women's Intercollegiate Equestrian Association actually do a coaches poll, just like basketball and football do, for rankings. And I didn't think we were cool enough to get a coaches poll, but apparently we are. So they have just done their third one, and currently they do them twice a month. Currently, guess who's in the lead? Texas A&M. The Aggies are in the lead. Auburn is second. Of course, another Texas, right? UGA, which I think is the University of Georgia, and they actually have a great equestrian team. Yeah, you should be giving a shout out to them.
My girlfriend's a coach up there, was a coach, so UGA, I think it's Georgia. Oh, my daddy would be mad.
But they do have a great equestrian team there. Oklahoma State, yes. TSU, USC, Kansas State, Baylor, Fresno State, and New Mexico State are the top 10. So congratulations to Texas A&M for being on the top there. We'll keep an eye on that for you, and we'll try and maybe get one of the coaches on here shortly to talk a little bit about. I know that on the Western Radio Show, Alan and Tammy have talked to a couple of the coaches. I know they talked to the coach from the University of Georgia last year after the season was over, so you can check that out on westernradioshow.com. I also wanted to mention that Tack and Habit is out for this week. If you want to hear more of our fun that we had from ADA, from the American Equestrian Trade Association show, we were at a couple weeks ago with Jamie and Helena. We had a couple more interviews that we did there. One of them was for that really cool braiding wire that we found. So you can hear all about how they're trying to change braiding today, make it a little bit easier with this cool wire that we located at ADA. So that's there as well. Well, I think that's about it. I'm running out of voice. I just can't talk anymore. That's it. We're done.
You're done.
Oh, my gosh. Write this down. Glenn can't talk anymore. Write
this
it down.
This is crazy. It's Red Letter Day. Well, thanks, everybody, for posting. I will. Thanks, everybody. Now that it's at my show, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to talk to you today. No. Be sure you listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com, on Facebook, we're Horses in the Morning, on Twitter, we're Horse Radio. If you missed a live show, you can listen to the recorded version on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. So we will be back tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern, and Glenn will be well-rested and ready to go again. So goodbye, everybody. Wear your helmets.